Good job. That is teacher and student, I believe. Right? Mindy takes lessons from Emily. So that's teacher and student, and that was well done. This is our year of singing. We're trying to have as many different offertory specials as we can this throughout the year, and we've enjoyed these. We're trying to alternate between morning and evening. Sometimes we have more than every other week, but sometimes we have more than that. And I'm always glad to hear from the different folks in the church who have the ability to play. That's a blessing. Thank you so much, ladies, for that today. Hebrews chapter 12. In your Bible, we're going to read two very familiar verses. If you've, if you're used to your Bible, and if you're not, then I know these verses will be a great, great help and blessing, encouragement to your heart today. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to be in verses 1 and 2. Give you just a moment to find it. If you're getting used to your Bible, Hebrews is toward the end of the New Testament. If you'll open up, if you find the Revelation, you've gone a little too far, come back to your left and find chapter 12. And let's stand together, please. And we're going to honor the Lord's Word by doing that. And we're going to read the first two verses. Would you please join me on verse 2? And I'm reading verse number 1 now of chapter 12, book of Hebrews. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray together. God, we ask you, please, according to your mercy and grace, to give us your help this morning. Lord, if all we do is meet here, hear a man talk, and then go home, we've wasted our time. But God, if your Spirit will come and bless us and open our eyes and help us to see some wonderful things in your book, it'll be well worth the time, effort, even gas money it took to come here. Lord, please give us a liberty that only your Spirit brings to a service. Lead, guide, and direct my thoughts, my heart. Lord, I so want to be a blessing today. I just want to be used. And I pray that you'll give us a listening ear and benefit from the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated.
It was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the blessed, happy day that my soul found peace in believing, and my tell thee,
Thank you, Stephanie. I enjoyed that. That blessed my heart. Amen. I like to sit and picture the night I got saved. Amen. Think of what happened. Hallelujah. For the love of God. Wonderful. Great song for our hearts today. That was a blessing. I want to talk to you about staying in the race today. Staying in the race. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus in verse number 2, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus never commands us to do anything or expects us to do anything that He didn't do. He stayed in the race till He crossed the finish line. That's what I want to talk to us about this morning. Stay in the race. Stay in the race. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for the example of Jesus Christ. So many ways He touches our lives by His examples. Oh, Lord, more than we have time to talk about this morning. More than we'd have time to talk about in a calendar year, probably, on Sundays. But God, thank You that we have these moments to look at this particular example. And would You please help me and help us? We pray in Jesus' name. And amen. We are familiar with the illustration of dangling a carrot in front of a donkey in order to motivate him to move. In fact, you get the little saying, a carrot on a stick, from that mental picture. A carrot on a stick. The carrot is attached to a string that dangles from a stick. It's held out in front of the donkey by the one riding the donkey. As the donkey moves toward the carrot, of course, he carries the man or the woman where they want to go. And so, but they got to do that to motivate that donkey to move. That's an incentive. It's an inspiration to that donkey. It's an enticement. It entices the donkey. The rider may or not intend to give the carrot to the donkey, but he uses that stick, uses that carrot, as an enticement to get that rider, to get that donkey to move, take the rider somewhere. Now, so we use the little phrase, a carrot on a stick. He's dangling a carrot in front of me. You use that. You've heard it said. Now, there are no carrots on a stick in the Christian life. There are no enticements for a Christian that the Lord uses to move us along in our walk of faith. There are, however, promises. Promises. Not carrots on a stick. Not enticements. But promises, promises that God makes to those who will run their race and finish their course. If you're going to stay in the race this morning, there's no carrot to dangle in front of your eyes. There's no carrot on a stick. There's no enticement. But there are some wonderful promises, the promises of God. And there are many of them. They're not illusions. They are certainties. And if you and I will pay the price to stay in the race, then we'll have those promises realized someday. And that is my objective this morning. I want to encourage every one of you to stay in the race and stay in it until you finish. I know real well to whom I am preaching this morning. I understand that there is a wide spectrum of people here who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks who have started their walk of faith just recently. Folks who have started their walk of faith maybe a year ago. Folks who have started their walk of faith maybe 3 years ago. Or maybe 10 years ago. And in some cases 40 and 50 years ago. You started your walk of faith. And I say to everyone this morning, no matter where you are in your walk of faith, how far along you are into it, I want to encourage your heart this morning to stay in the race. Stay in the race. And I want to give you some thoughts about that this morning, staying in the race. Number one, saved people are in a race. Saved people are in a race. Look at verse number one. The Bible says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's talking to saved people. He's talking to born-again believers. Our race began the moment we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's when your race started. You say, Pastor, how long after I get saved do I start the race? Immediately. Immediately. It's a walk of faith. It's a race. You're running, okay? You're born into God's family. And even though you're born in as a baby, as an infant, as a newborn babe, you're still beginning your race, your walk of faith. Now, let me say this for just a few moments this morning. Let me spend just a little time on this. If you are not saved, if you're not born again, those are Bible terms. We have a lot of terminology today that is vague. We have a lot of terminology today that is ambiguous. You know, decisions and commitment. Saved is a Bible word. Born again is a Bible term. Okay? If you've never been saved, if you've never been born again into God's family, I use both terms when I'm out speaking to people or talking to somebody on an airplane or at the door about their salvation. Have you been born again into God's family? I asked a lady that 2 weeks ago. Have you ever been born again into God's family? A churchgoer? No. I don't know what that means. Had the privilege of showing her about being born again from the Scripture. She bowed her head, trusted Christ as her Savior. Commitment and decision and things like that don't get it sometimes if it's vague. Saved. Saved. Born again. Born again into God's family. Saved through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Because, see, without that, you and I are doomed to an eternity in hell. Apart from God. Apart from heaven. Because our sin demands its payment. And the payment of sin, the wages of sin, is death. And so the only way to avoid that and to enjoy the glories of heaven is to come, like she sang, at the feet of Jesus. And praise God, if you'll come to the feet of Jesus, you'll find mercy and you'll find grace. You'll find your guilt gone, your sins forgiven, your name. I'm talking about salvation, amen? I'm talking about being born again. If you've never been saved, had a church member get saved two Sunday nights ago. I told you last Sunday when they were baptized. That some months ago, God put it on my heart. There's some unsaved church members. I believe that. I don't know who. I don't know how many. It's up to God. I'm not going to go on a tangent preaching about it. But I just preach the truth. Let God do with it what He wants. If you've never been saved, saved. You haven't started the race. You haven't even come to the starting blocks. You're not prepared to run. You get saved first. You get born into God's family, and then you got a race to run. But the race is only for those who have trusted Christ in repentance and faith and been born into God's family. If you're not saved this morning, let me say something. You can be saved before you walk out those doors in just a little while. You can be saved. It's not a process. It's a matter of the Spirit of God working on your heart and showing you that you're lost and showing you that you have no hope of heaven in and of yourself and pointing you to Jesus and helping you to see by faith that His death, burial, and resurrection did everything you need done in order for you to go to heaven. You'd come put your faith and trust in Christ today and leave here sure of heaven as your home. That's a pretty good deal, amen? That's a pretty good matter. So, I wanted to just say a few words about that this morning. But, if you are saved, your race began the moment you got saved. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 starts off talking about a great cloud of witnesses. You say, Pastor, who is that? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Don't take the time to do this now. But the great cloud of witnesses is all the people that were mentioned by name in Hebrews chapter 11. There's a bunch of folks mentioned by name there. And then there are others who are referred to that are not named. They are also in the great cloud of witnesses. These folks are all joined in a great group, the Bible says, up in heaven, a great cloud of witnesses. And they are looking on as you and I run our race. They're onlookers. Can you picture a stadium this morning? Can you picture an arena where people are watching a ball game or some race take place? Can you picture that? Can you picture, if you men have ever watched a championship ball, especially a championship ball game, maybe the championship NBA game or the World Series, Game 7, or the Super Bowl. And if you're watching one of those games, the camera will pan through the crowd. And you know who's sitting in the crowd in those championship games? The former players. Men who used to play ball. Men who played basketball. Men who played baseball. Men who played football. They're in the stands and they're watching, and the cameras will pick their faces up and tell you who they are. That's so-and-so. That's so-and-so. That's so-and-so. That's so-and-so. And the players on the field or the players on the court, they know that. They know that, they know who's in the stands. I'm going to tell you who they really pay attention to, who they really get encouraged by. They get encouraged by the guys who are sitting there who won championships. You know, a lot of guys play ball. They're good ball players, but they don't have the privilege of playing on a championship team. But some of those guys won championships, and maybe multiple championships, like a Jordan or a Pippen or Joe Montana, some of those football players. And so when those guys are in the grandstand, when those guys are in the stadium, when those guys are in the seats watching, don't you know it has to motivate the people who are playing the game? And what I'm saying this morning is this. Hey, the Bible says that in heaven there is a great cloud of witnesses of Christian people, believers. Their race on earth is finished. Their race on earth is run. They are already in heaven. They are gathered in that great bandstand, that great grandstand up in heaven. And they are watching down here on earth. And they are pulling for you and me to finish our race. Now let that encourage you. If you are saved, you are in the race. And others have run it before you and finished. They crossed the finish line. You know, sometimes the race gets wearisome. We shouldn't get weary of the race. But we do get weary in the race. I know that because there's a bunch of you asleep this morning, right now. Pinch yourself. Wake up. It's church time. Amen. I can get louder if I have to, but I really don't want to. Okay? Pinch yourself. Hey, we can get weary of the race. Weary in the race, but we should not get weary of it. It's a great race. I'm going to tell you what, I get weary sometimes in my Christian walk, but it's a whole lot better than what I used to have as a lost person. Sometimes we go hunting and we don't see anything, don't hear anything, see anything, sit out there for 3 hours, freeze to death, get back in the car, absolutely nothing happened. But a bad day in a tree stand is better than a good day in the office. Amen, anytime. And that's how I feel about being saved. A bad day being saved is better than a good day being lost. Now, I may get weary in the race, but don't get weary of it. And that's if you start to flag in the race a little bit, that's when you think about the testimony of some in the cloud of witnesses that motivate you to keep going. Some of you have parents in the cloud of witnesses. Some of you might have a child in the cloud of witnesses. Some of you have a brother or sister in the cloud of witnesses. Some of you have a former pastor who preached the gospel to you in the cloud of witnesses. Some of you have friends. All of us have friends who are in the cloud of witnesses. People with, and how about the testimony of some folks that we didn't know? If you ever get the chance, check out the little book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. And read about those men and women who in the Dark Ages, because of their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, went to their death. Oftentimes at the stake. And as the sticks and the wood underneath the stake where they were bound was ignited by flame, they began to sing and quote Scripture and praise God and rejoice before the flames overcame them. And when you're running the race and you begin to get a little bit weary in your race, think about those people who endured that and were faithful to the finish line. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. It'll help you stay in the race. It'll help you. I don't want to fail. My goodness, I don't want to quit the race one day too early. I don't want to do that. Why? Because there's a great cloud of witnesses. So if you're saved, saved people are in a race. Now I want to say number two this morning. Listen carefully. The race is not about speed. The race is not about speed. Look at verse number one. He says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." This is not about who can get out of the starting blocks the fastest. This is not about who can cover the most ground in the quickest amount of time. Listen, this race is about finishing. It's not about being fast. It's not about how much distance can I cover. It's about I want to finish. Now, some people would think that the fastest runner is the one that will win. But that's not always the case. And it certainly isn't the case in this race. This race is about finishing. Finish. Now, run with patience. You see, there's a course for me. And there's a course for you. Your course is not the same as mine. Mine is not the same as yours. Our courses are different. They're similar in some ways. We're all headed the same direction. But our races are not the same. I have my own distinct individual course to run. And so do you. And don't get into comparisons. Don't start looking across at somebody else and saying, man, I wish I could run like them. Or I wish my race was like theirs. Because every individual has a race to run themselves. You have a race to run. And the Bible says that we need to run our race with patience. Patience. We all need patience to run the race before us. Look at me. The Christian life is not a 100-yard dash. The Christian life is not a 40. The Christian life is a marathon. It's a long run. Run it and run it and run it. And if you're going to cross the finish line, you're going to have to learn to run with patience. Now, let me say this. Do you remember how you felt when you were new to something and in a group of folks, among a group of folks who weren't new to it? Do you remember how they all knew what they were doing and you didn't have a clue? They all knew where they were going, where to stand in line, when to do certain things, when not to do certain things. They knew where this goes and where that goes. They knew what to bring. They knew what not to bring. And remember how you felt? Like a deer in the headlights. And when I went to work, I told the Sunday school class that I taught this morning, when I went to work at Thrall Car, it was the most new experience to me. Now, I was not a stranger to work. Dad worked us from the time we were young boys, had paper routes. We worked in the garden. There's not any kind of yard work that I haven't done. I worked at a grocery store. I mean, I was accustomed to work. I went to work at Chandler Corporation, a big warehouse, when I first went to college. And then I worked at UPS. And those are working jobs. And then I worked at Thrall Car, but I'd never worked in a factory until I started at Thrall Car. And we made boxcar, railroad cars. And we made grain hoppers. They have three hoppers, three departments there in the car. I still see the grain hoppers, and once in a while, see one with a Thrall Car sticker. Amazed that it's still going down the road. A welder, I've never held a welder in my hand. A hard hat, metatarsals, glasses, welding hoods, stick welders, MIG welders, wire welders. I mean, all these cranes and furnaces and torches and fire and everything. Honestly, I was like a deer. And I was just like, I was stunned. I remember I was so careful, every little move. I was telling the Sunday school class. I can remember one time I was finally learning how to weld. And I was welding one day. And I smelled, something's burning. Something's on fire. And I finally quit. I raised my hood. My pants were on fire. My pants, I put my pants out. I mean, they were on fire. You know, you're looking around to see who's looking at you, you know, to see who's watching. See if anybody's watching you. You know, I got these big old yellow smiley faces on the side of my hard hat that say that you're a rookie. And you wore those things. You know, yeah, I used to hate those things. You had to wear them for a certain amount of time. I thought, I saw guys with earmuffs on and earplugs, and I thought, I probably don't need that. I was there. I was working on the underframe jig, and we made the underframe undercarriage of the car, of the grain hopper, and we put the sides, the bottom, we made up the sides and every the bottom. We put all those together, the big underframe that went through there. People worked inside it, and people worked underneath it. I did both. It was my night to work underneath it. New. I was just tack welding, just spot welding. You guys know what that is. The other guys would come by later on and weld it solid. I saw it. I was tack welding, and I was underneath there, had my hood on, had my stick welder. Right above me. I mean, all that's separating me and the guy above me is just a sheet of metal. All right? And so it's got a rise in it. And it's got to be flush for him to weld it solid. And so he's heating it with his torch. So it's flexible. Then he takes a maul. I'm right here. The metal is right here. He's right here. He takes a maul. Wham! Honestly. I came stumbling out of that. I know. I look like a drunk man. I mean, I stumbled around. It shook me to my foundation. I had ringing in my ears for days. I never will forget the experience of being new to a factory like that. And everybody else knew what they were doing. Here was two or three of us, a handful of us, that were just like a deer in the headlights. And I will say to you this morning, you know, when you get saved, not so much when you get saved at age 6 and age 8 and 9 and 10, but when you get saved as a teenager or when you get saved as an adult, and you haven't been in church, and you're not used to the Bible, it's huge. It's huge. It's amazing. And I mean, I can remember, and those of you who were saved as children, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy for you to identify. But I was saved at age 18, and even I came out of a church background. So when you start talking about being saved out of an unchurched background, and all that you're introduced to when you start reading the Bible and you start hearing preaching, and it can be overwhelming. And I remember how much changed in my life when I got saved. Because you know what Christianity is? It's a lifestyle change. And I make no apology for that. It is a lifestyle change. That's exactly what caused the people at Antioch to say about the believers there, they called them Christians. They live like Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's a lifestyle change when you haven't been living like Jesus. And I remember that, man. And I remember all that I was introduced to and all that was preached and all that came from the pulpit. And you know what? It was just so overwhelming at times. And I want to say to those this morning who've been saved in the last 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, or less than a year, listen, you've got a race to run. Just run it with patience. Just run it with patience. Look, just take a step. Take a small step if need be. But just take a step. You know, when I got the thrall car, I just little bitty steps. I learned to put my earplugs in and wear them the whole time. I learned about this and I learned about that. I learned about tack welding. I learned about welding solid. I learned about all of those things. You get saved and what you want to do, you want to begin the race. But it's all so new. And you know what happens? Hear me. This is my heart this morning. Some drop out of the race because they can't get over the fact of all the newness. Hang in there. Stay in the race. Stay in it. Just take a small step and just start moving and get a little forward motion going. And you know, it wasn't long at Thrall Car before I was certified as an all-position burner and welder. And I could do the welding that I never could have thought about doing before I started. And I learned that. But it just took small steps. So that's what you do. Listen, the race is not about who is the fastest. The race is about who finishes. Who finishes? And you run the race at your pace. And the one who finishes is the one who is patient. Patient with themselves. And patient with the course. And patient with the race. There's so much to learn about the Christian life and the walk of faith. But just start moving and keep going. And do it patiently. Do it patiently because the race is not about speed. The race is about finishing. 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 Do you understand, friend, that there will be some people who get saved toward the, right before Christ comes, and their course is very short. Their course is very short. They're not going to have a lot of time to grow in grace. You think Jesus is going to punish them because their course was so short? No. Jesus is going to reward those who finish their course. So run your course. Run your race. It's not about speed. It's not about being fast. It's about who finishes. Number three, let me say this morning about staying in the race. Man, this will help you. This will help you this morning. Don't lose sight of Jesus. Don't lose sight of Jesus. He says in verse number 2, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. You know, a lot of times you'll hear a coach or you'll hear somebody who's working with somebody, man, keep your eye on the prize. 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 And that's okay. I'm not against that. And there's a lot of blessings in the Christian life. You say, well, what is the prize? Hey, can we do something? Can we forget about the what? Can we talk for just a few minutes about the who? Keep your eyes on Christ. Don't lose sight of Jesus. Don't lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. He, above all others, will help us run our race. He was there at the beginning. The Bible says He is the author. He is the reason we started running. He is the reason we are saved. He is the reason we have a home in heaven. He is the reason our sins are forgiven. He is the reason our names are recorded in the book of life. He is the reason we sing. He is the reason we run. He is the reason we got started. Don't lose sight of Him. He was there at the beginning. Better yet, He'll be there at the end. Because He's the finisher. He'll finish with you. You'll be abandoned by some. Friends and maybe even family members will drop out. But not Christ. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's at the beginning. He's at the end. And guess what? He goes with you all the way through because He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So don't lose sight of Him. You say, man, the race is uphill right now. and I feel like I'm swimming through water and I'm up to my neck in mud, you find Jesus. So He's not with me. Oh, yes, He is. Where is He? Look for Him. Lord, where are You? Help me. Listen very carefully, friend. Jesus, the three Hebrew boys ran on their course right into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. How would you like that? I'm not talking about a difficult trial. I'm talking about a burning fiery furnace. They ran on their course right into the middle of that. Guess who showed up? Jesus was there. Oh, who was it? Was it Nebuchadnezzar? It was Nebuchadnezzar, wasn't it? Yeah. Why does my mind think it was that? Wasn't Belshazzar? It was Nebuchadnezzar. I can't remember. Huh? It was Nebuchadnezzar. There you go. All right, very good. Thank you, Brother Caleb. He threw those three boys in the fire. And those are boys that threw him in. He said, what's going on in that fire? He said, well, there's a fourth one in there now. Hey, it looks like the Son of God. He said, well, who do you think it was that looked like Jesus? Jesus. I don't think anybody's mistaken any human for Jesus these days or ever. I think He's in that fire with them. It said in Isaiah, when thou goest into the fire, I'll walk through it with you. Yes, Pastor, my course has run me right in the middle. Okay, where is she? Listen. Old Solomon said, when your course takes you into a valley, if you'll just look, you'll find that He is the lily in the valley. He'll be there. John found out that in the darkest of times on his course, Jesus was the bright and morning star. Peter found out that when you try to quit the race, Jesus will be standing on the shore of your life. Say, come on, time to get back in again. Time to start running again. Yeah. Paul found out that when you're weak with some physical infirmity, Jesus will be there with strength and grace sufficient for the race. Don't lose sight of Jesus Christ while you run the race. Look for Him. He'll be there. Man, people can inspire you. People can motivate you. People can encourage you. People can uplift you. But you know what people can also do? They can discourage you. They can disappoint you. They can dissuade you. They can depress you. They can dishearten you. Listen carefully. Jesus will inspire. He'll motivate. He'll encourage. He'll uplift. And He will never disappoint, discourage, dissuade, depress, or dishearten you. Jesus will always be there. When you need Him on your race, He'll be there. I got saved at that boy's home. Mercy days. Mercy days. Oh, Mike Hagee, I've been in contact with Mike lately by way of letter. He's in prison. Has been for years. And I've written two or three times, and he's written back and enjoyed it. When he wrote back, he said, can you send me a little money? It tickled me. Oh, mercy. And I got busy. And I didn't write him. And I just got busy. It's just been an incredibly busy summer. And so I got a letter from him and said, well, I guess I overstepped my boundaries in asking for money. I didn't mean to offend you and all this stuff. And I wrote him back. I said, Mike, you didn't offend me. And yeah, I've been busy. And I sent him a little money. I sent him just a little bit and to help him. He said, why would you do that? Because he was there when I needed him. You say, well, look what's happened. I know. That's one reason why I want to keep running. Maybe if I can finish my course, God will give Brother Mike a little bit of the fruit. Because he was there. Told me he loved me. Beat me. And then told me he loved me. Oh, mercy. He was there when I got saved. He was the one that knelt at the altar with me. When I knelt at the feet of Jesus, he was there. Sure. He said, maybe your church can take me on as one of your missionaries. truth. He said, I'm witnessing in jail. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to support me. You're talking about a real prison ministry, buddy. That would be a real prison ministry. Oh, mercy. Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. But I was ready to throw it in one time. I was ready to throw it in. I walked down from my cabin where I stayed down to his little mobile home trailer where he and Maywin lived, two or three children at that time. Probably 10 o'clock at night, I knocked on the door. I wouldn't even know all the circumstances, but I was ready to pack it in and go home. This is after I was called to preach. And I knocked on his door and said, Mike, I need to go home. What do you need to go home for? And I talked to him a little bit. And what had happened was I'd gotten close to a couple of boys, and they left. They took off. Left, ended back in jail. And I thought to myself, the old devil used that. You know, the old devil said to me, if those boys can't do it, neither can you. And I was convinced. So I went to his house. I said, I need to go home. What do you need to go home for? I talked to him. He said, let me show you something. He stepped in his house, stepped back out on the little porch there, had his Bible. He said, let me show you a verse I don't want you to forget. He took me to Psalm 118:8. Where the Bible says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, don't misread that verse. The verse doesn't say that you can't have confidence in man. I have confidence in a lot of men. But the verse says, it's better to put your confidence in God. Why is that? Because Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. So when you get to running in the race and it feels like you're running in quicksand, or your race takes you into the fire, you look for Christ. You look for Christ. He'll be there. He will be there. So don't lose sight of Jesus. Let me finish. Number four. Staying in the race. Remember this. Joy is set before us. The Bible says that joy was set before Jesus. Now, there will be joy along the way, but the ultimate joy is set before us. Now, wait a minute. This is not the carrot on a stick enticement that may never become a reality. This is promise. This is real. This is sure. This is set. This is what got Jesus through the cross. You see, the race is not about speed. It's about endurance. And Jesus despised, the Bible says, that He despised the shame that was the cross. Now listen, are you listening? On His race, He came to the cross. And the Bible says that He despised the shame that came with the cross. He despised it. Look, what is the most humiliating way today to be put to death? I don't know. Executed by a firing squad? Hanged like Saddam Hussein was a few years ago? What is the most degrading way to be put to death today? I don't know. But listen, in Jesus' day, the most humiliating, debasing, degrading, demeaning, dishonorable, despicable, disgraceful means of death was the cross. And it brought shame. And particularly in Jesus' case, because when He endured the cross, the innocent was ridiculed by the guilty. The pure was mocked by the vile. The honorable was slapped by the dishonorable. The Creator was shamed by the creature. The holy was spit on by the sinful. It was horrible. But the Bible says He endured it for the joy that was set before Him. It was set. It was out there. It was promised. And Jesus realized it. the joy of finishing, the joy of sitting down at His Father's right hand by the throne of God. And when Jesus ascended to heaven 40 days after His resurrection and took His seat at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, the joy flooded His heart, His soul, the ultimate joy. And the joy was so wonderful, it obliterated all the shame. Friend, that's what you've got to realize. The joy is set. It's certain. It's sure. It's promised. It's not going away. And if you and I will finish our race, if we'll cross the finish line, no matter how tough it may get in the race, if we'll just finish, if we'll just cross, you and I will have the joy that's set before us. It's a promise. Paul the Apostle saw it. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, because of what's ahead of me now, I've run the course. I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. I've finished. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall not only give to me, but unto also them who love His appearing. Friend, one of these days, our walk of faith is going to become sight. We're going to cross the finish line. We're going to see Him. And the joy of heaven and the crowns and the glories of heaven is going to be ours. You say, well, it's tough right now. Yeah, but what's henceforth? It's what's out there. So keep running. Keep running. Keep running. Keep running. Keep running. Run with patience. Small steps. And you know what's going to happen on the race? Instead of going forward, you're going to go backwards a little bit. But don't stop. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep paddling. Keep taking a step. Stay in the race. Stay in it. Look for Jesus. It's not about speed. It's about finishing. People are cheering you on. Some of your loved ones, some of your friends, people who've gone before you, folks that you don't know, are pulling for you this morning to run the race and stay in it. So, Christian friend, let me encourage you today. Stay in your race. Stay in it until you cross the finish line. Because as Paul said, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown. That's where it's at, if you'll finish. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Now, who would say today, after the message, Pastor, pray for me. I want to stay in the race by the grace of God. I want to stay in the race. No matter how long I've been in it, I want to stay in it. It's not about how much progress I've made or have not made. I want to stay in it. I want to stay in it. How many would say this morning, Pastor, pray for me. I want to stay in the race. Would you raise your hand, please, all over the room? God bless you. I appreciate that. Amen. Now, let me ask you a more specific question. Who would say, Pastor, I needed the message, because not only do I want to stay in the race, but boy, the race has been wearisome lately. And it is a challenge. And I really needed to be reminded to stay in it today. And I believe, like God spoke to my heart very seriously about this staying in the race. Would you raise your hand, please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'll pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. I've been where you are. I'm not there today, but I have been where you are, where I almost got out. I'm so thankful I stayed, and I want to finish. Who could say today, Pastor, I'm not sure. Let's say this. Pastor, I'm sure that I am saved. I know that I'm going to heaven. I know that I've been saved by the grace of God. I have, as Stephanie's saying, I have knelt at the feet of Jesus for salvation, and I can give a testimony of that. Would you raise your hand, please, if you know that you're saved this morning? Be honest about it. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Take your hands down. I wonder who's here today would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. Anybody like that here today? Not sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and pray for you? Front to back, side to side. Not sure that I'm saved. Don't know that I'm a Christian. Don't know if it's heaven or hell. I have no idea. Not sure that I'm saved. Anybody, a member, visitor, boy or girl, man or woman, not sure that I'm saved. Church member or visitor, doesn't matter. Not sure that I'm saved. Now, maybe you're here this morning, you've been saved but not baptized since you've been saved. Would there be somebody here today that would say, Pastor, I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that today, would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. Anybody like that? Or you came in order to be baptized this morning? Anybody? All right then. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege to preach your great book, to talk about the race that's set before us. Help us to run it and stay in it and finish. God, encourage the hearts of your people this morning. God, for those who are right to the brink, possibly, of saying, I can't stay in, I pray that you'll give them courage and faith to go on. God, help us to never lose sight of Jesus, your blessed Son. And help us, Lord, to remember that the joy is set before us. God, help us to finish with patience the race. I pray for every one of these people. And I pray it in Jesus' name.